The Kenobi series has released 3 episodes so far, and already Star Wars fans are being called racist. How awful is this fandom? And how can we, 2 white men and an Italian, talk about the racism towards a black woman? All that and more here on Chatooine. How's that for a fucking intro? Welcome back to Chatooine, everyone. I'm your host, Star Wars Only. I'm back from Anaheim and Star Wars Celebration. I'm joined with Darth Daddy Lunga in the Goldman. Palpa Memes is out bench pressing right now. And if you're new here on Chatooine, we simply talk about news, topics, debates, and we always simply chat about Star Wars. We're on Spotify for any podcast listeners if you want to listen to this later on. And if you're watching the show, leave a like and comment in the stream so we can engage with you all. And if you're listening via audio on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review. Show us some love, man. We've gotten some interesting feedback on the podcast stuff. Someone said Palpa Memes was too negative once, and I refuse to believe that.
I still think they meant me. I 100% believe that.
Either you or Goldman. I feel like the confusion between Goldman and Palpa Memes would be easier to understand than literally anybody else.
I take offense to that.
That's firm but fair. Yeah. I mean, how dare I?
Compare me to Palpa Memes? What?
So I was able to listen to most of the show from last week that you guys did without me, and it was a really good show. And I know you guys talked about Andor, talked about like Kenobi anticipation, the Mandalorian season 3 thing. I think you guys talked a little bit about the Skeleton Crew stuff. And the issue that we have is that there's so much to go over that it's kind of hard to, I guess, pick which one. So like for today's episode, I'm kind of hoping to focus a little bit mostly on Kenobi because we have 3 episodes now. And we haven't even reacted to the first 2 because it came out after we did the last week's show. So we have 3 episodes to go over for Kenobi. And there's a big drama around Kenobi with the Reva, what's her name? Moses Ingram? Am I saying that right?
Moses Ingram.
Okay. So we have the issue with her. So I think those 2 topics alone, just reviewing 3 episodes and talking about her, is kind of enough to just take over this entire show. And if we can... I mean, it'd be hard to schedule probably another show between now and next Wednesday, but by next Wednesday, we can probably talk more about some of the news that was revealed at Star Wars Celebration if you guys want to, and if you guys in the chat want us to cover a specific topic that we didn't talk about last week, please let us know, because there is a good amount of stuff to go over and talk about from Celebration. It was a great week for me. I had a great time. Celebration's unique and interesting, but everything's going really fast right now in Star Wars in terms of the news cycle. After Celebration, it just seems like we kind of hit the ground running. So I'm excited. I can't say I'm excited for the future of Star Wars just yet because I'm still recovering from Celebration. I still got to digest everything, but I am excited to talk about everything that's happened. But first off, we should talk about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and our thoughts on it. We're already halfway there, right? There's 6 episodes, yep. And we've seen 3 of them. So do you guys want to start by just talking about all 3 of them as a whole, or do you kind of want to react to episodes 1 and 2 and then we talk about episode 3?
I think talking about all 3 as a whole and what we feel so far through the first 3 is a good place to start. And then we can dissect each episode.
And then we can, okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
All right.
So start us out, Lunga. You're pointing to me, Goldman?
As long as it's not me first.
Yeah, I kind of want, because I'm.
He always wants to be the last one to speak. You know that.
Slightly, but just because I feel like in this one, I'm going to. I wonder if you guys will be surprised with my reaction to the series so far or not, because I do feel in the minority on my opinion on this series, but then again, I've seen very different gauging reactions. So, Lunga, you always have
interesting
takes, in my opinion. So, I am curious.
I'll say this. You are in the minority. But the side in the minority you're with is not the most desirable side to be on.
I have noticed that of late. We'll talk about that later. I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's been interesting.
Unlike Book of Boba, which everyone called me, you know, a hater and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Who's everyone? Not me.
When I say everyone, I mean outside of our circle.
Mm.
You know, the greater... Star Wars world, if you will, on Twitter and on social media and YouTube. No, I love this show. I think it's absolutely fucking spectacular. There are some minor little tidbits, which we'll get into when we break down each episode that I wasn't necessarily happy with or some of the problems I saw. But none of the problems were big enough to make me not like the series or not enjoy the series. Like the stuff in Boba Fett, it was bad enough that I'm like, I can't watch this. I am not having fun with this show at all because this stuff is so bad. I'm not having that problem with Obi-Wan. I think it's great. And I don't think it's member berries and it's not like, oh, I love Ewan so much. I mean, I'm not the prequel lover here. That's Palpatine's role, not mine. I enjoy the prequels for what they are, but I'm not like this lover of them. Ewan, I think, is doing a spectacular job. The settings, the shot selections, I think are spectacular. The cinematography is spectacular. I think Deborah Chow is doing an excellent job, except for a couple of little mishaps here and there, is doing an excellent job telling the story so far. A lot of people are going crazy with calling things retcons, and they're not retcons. They're bending of the canon. But we still have 3 episodes left, and they could still make sense. And to where they're going, it's still plausible to me with what we know already from the original trilogy and the prequels. So I don't consider it breaking canon. But I think they're doing a really good job. And it's being led by Ewan McGregor, who has grown. He was a great actor always, but he's grown tremendously as an actor. And the way he emotes and what you're getting from him in this series so far is spectacular. And I like the new additions to the cast. Even we all joked around about the Grand Inquisitor and what he looked like. And I gotta be honest with you, Rupert, I keep forgetting his last name.
Friend.
Rupert Friend. That should be the easiest name to remember. I don't know why I forget that. Rupert Friend. I said if he does a good enough job acting, that the makeup won't bother me. And he's done that. I think he did a good enough job acting as the Grand Inquisitor in the first 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a great job as it and didn't. The makeup didn't affect me at all. It didn't bother me as much. there was a couple other things. There was something else that I predicted, and it happened, but I forgot what it was now. It'll come to me later. But I think it's great. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I'm looking forward to episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6 and see where it goes. And I think Deborah Chow has done a spectacular job. And this last episode was the best of the 3.
All right, Goldman, hit us with your best shot. What do you think about this so far?
I may not be as positive about this series as Lunga is, but I still thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. I think the only thing that's holding me back is just seeing the whole picture, but that could change. This series, for me, it's getting right what it needs to get right, and I'm baffled how many fans out there are surprised at seeing a depressed, broken man. I thought that was what we all wanted to see from this character. I mean, how else would you expect the man who feels responsible for the fall of someone else who led to the fall of the Republic and the death of billions of people at that point? So anyway, with that aside, I just love the direction they've taken Obi-Wan in this series. It kind of reminds me of Luke and the Last Jedi, but I think it's easier for fans to stomach because we have a better understanding of why he's in the place that he is. The first episode was my favorite so far. There were so many little details that they had that I thought really did a great job at highlighting the trauma that Obi-Wan felt. Also, this is probably the biggest thing I wanted out of this series, and it's one of my biggest criticisms of the prequel movies. And that is simply just the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin. I always felt that the relationship between those two in the movies wasn't done as well as it could have been. They didn't have a relationship in The Phantom Menace. In Attack of the Clones, they were always bickering. And they had some good moments in Revenge of the Sith, but not as much as I would have liked. So I never felt the pain that Obi-Wan probably felt having lost his brother to the dark side. One of my least favorite scene in all the prequels is the moment where Obi-Wan finds out that Anakin turns to the dark side, because it was such a poorly done scene. Like, I would have expected Obi-Wan to somewhat break down, and he's just like, I can't be. I can't watch that anymore. That's like how the actual scene goes. So in this series, I kind of wanted to redo that scene in a way, just see how heartbroken Obi-Wan is. And right off the bat from the first episode, there's so many things that they give us. Like when Obi-Wan is sleeping, he's having nightmares about Anakin, when he's reminiscing about Padme whenever he's with younger Leia, how he kind of just has this depressing job where he has no hope. When Bail comes, he doesn't trust in himself to save Leia. Just, you know, a lot of people don't want to see their heroes become broken people and then be built up again, but that's just a trope that I like. And so the first episode has been my favorite so far. The second episode, I enjoyed a lot of it, but it was just a not as engaging episode with me. In the third episode, had a lot of highs, but also had a lot of things that just made me question. I just had a lot of thoughts. Like they made some rather weird decisions with certain scenes. But overall, the biggest reason why I'm enjoying the series so much is because they've gotten the important stuff right. And that's the trauma that Obi-Wan's facing. And this most recent episode, how Vader feels about Obi-Wan. They've gotten that right. And the stuff they've gotten wrong, it was just smaller things that bug me that just keep it from taking that next step into one of my favorite Star Wars stories. But overall, I am thoroughly happy.
I wouldn't... For me, I'm not going to say I'm happy with the series. I am slightly more than satisfied. I liked the first episode a lot. There's kind of what Lunga's saying of like there's small parts where I don't like, and that is what I think really annoys me, is that for all the things that this show has done right, there are these small, glaring, very cringe things that just stick out like a very sore thumb where it makes me go, how did this get past all of you? And so it's a lot easier to look at the things that you don't like than it is the things that you like, because people are more interested in you saying, well, mm-hmm. I think this part sucked, than they are you saying, well, I love this. Like cinematography wise, I did expect more. I mean, I know it was kind of a joke on Twitter for like a day, but I thought it was a very valid criticism, because this is what I noticed when I first watched it. The very first shot of the entire series of those kids, and of course, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched any of the episodes, of the kids training with the Jedi, you know, it kind of pans out. It shows all of them. And it's using the rule of thirds and the far left side of the screen, that third line, you see the doors open and the clones attack. And then it kind of pans again, and it just starts going into like a shaky hand camera thing. And it kept that for a while, and it looked awful, like just absolutely awful to me.
That's a lot of people's favorite part, and one of mine. I thought it was great.
Really?
I didn't get the vibe that it was poorly done. I didn't really have any strong
feeling to the scene. A documentary vibe from it. I got it like there was someone there, like even though it wasn't this, but it was like the feeling of like there was a holocam recording the training, and then when all it broke out, like a floating droid, you know, those floating mm-hmm. droids that record stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it went like this,
I imagine was intentional too, because George Lucas says, you know, Star Wars is like a documentary, pretty much. Like we're just recording these things happen in space. So I absolutely understand people loving it. It just for some reason it did not work well for me. I thought the first episode was great in terms of bringing in the Grand Inquisitor. I was really surprised of how well Rupert is in terms of acting as mm-hmm. that character, especially for someone who said he didn't even watch the series of Star Wars Rebels. And, you know, like Lunga said, face makeup aside, his acting is carrying his role in that. And I just think he has done great. I love Ewan. And what I loved about the first episode and kind of this third one that we watched today is that it does show some reflection. I feel like that is what I wanted from this series from the start, even though I knew this was going to be nothing but fan service, is that it really does show Obi-Wan kind of reflecting on his past, what has happened. And like Goldman was just saying, going through that drama and really being depressed and a broken man. And you see that constantly where he doubts himself, even using the Force. That is the stuff Ewan is what really shines in this series. But for me, the issues are sometimes the story feels a little bit messy and or clumsy. I don't mind Leia being in the series at all. I knew she was for a long time, and so I had to come to peace with that. But at the same time, her coming into the story of, like, it's kind of the fundamental things. Like, Reva knowing that Anakin and Darth Vader are not only the same person, but that Anakin's alive. I don't care about the canon aspect of it. That just annoys me. It just annoys me. And Leia as a character, I think whoever's playing her is fantastic. I mean, what a great actress or actor for such a young age. I really mm-hmm. do enjoy Leia and the relationship she has with Obi-Wan in this series. At the same time, the Leia chase scene was absolutely cringe. I mean, they're in the parkour scene with Reva in episode 2, absolutely cringe to me. In episode 3, I don't think there were that many things that I disliked, but there was just these small little moments in this series where I would look at it and I'll be like, this is reminding me of Book of Boba Fett. Ever so slightly. And it surprises me that some of these things get through production. But for the most part, I am happy like I said, more than satisfied with the series so far. I was happy with the first episode. I think Palpamine's left a really another. He's always got these shitty takes. I can't believe we have him on the show. he's got his rankings as episode 1, 9 out of 10. That's an 8 out of 10. You know, all right. Episode 2, 8.5 out of 10. What are you talking about, Palpamemes? And then episode 3, he has the lowest, 7.8 out of 10. I thought episode 3 was really good.
It was too much original trilogy. That's what it was. You know, it was too much original trilogy. It didn't feel enough sequels to him. Episode three.
Yeah, you know, yeah. can I somewhat defend Palpamemes? Because yeah, I think episode 3 is growing on me a bit more. I still don't know if I like it more than episode 2. I think episode 3 had the higher highs and did a great job with the Vader and Obi-Wan fight. But throughout that episode, there were a bunch of little things that bugged me. And I'll just go through them briefly. The first one was when Obi-Wan and Leia go on that little tractor.
Wait, are we jumping ahead to episode 3? We got to break down each episode, don't we? Let's break down each episode.
I don't know if we have to break them down, because it's going to be hard for me to... We can try, but yeah, let's hear them out.
Just a brief one.
So can I talk about episode 3?
Yeah.
All right. So
work always backwards.
So when Obi-Wan and Leia go in that truck and then the 4 stormtroopers go on, they're like, oh, we're looking for a Jedi. And then they start like that asking questions. It just bothered me that they wouldn't say like, oh, we're looking for a Jedi. And here's some random dude in a hood. Let's ask him questions. And he's making mistakes about his identity because he called Leia when he wasn't supposed to. Like, they couldn't have just bothered to say, hey, what's like, give me your ID or something, just like they did in A New Hope. So that was just one thing. I can forgive these things, but a lot of them happen in a row.
Or they don't even remotely know what the guy they're looking for looks like.
We're getting into the era of bumbling stormtroopers now.
Yeah, no, that's my defense for this whole thing. That's my defense.
All right, so then there's that. Then the other thing is when Reva is looking for Leia and Obi-Wan, she just happens to know, oh, let's check this shop, all because I saw a droid walk out. Oh, I'll happen to find this secret button. And then once she sees the tunnel, she somehow happens to know that where the exit of the tunnel is. I guess it's not hard to figure out that it probably goes to the spaceport, but still, it's like, oh, I happen to find where this tunnel exits. Okay, fine, whatever. And then the big one, which a lot of people are going to bring up, and I think this is going to be resolved in the next episode, is why Vader seemed to just let Obi-Wan go at the end of the third episode. A lot of people are saying that, oh, he wants Obi-Wan to, you know, suffer longer and all this. I don't know if I really buy that. I don't think Vader would risk Obi-Wan going away. I think the reason is he saw the other droid there. It focused on Vader seeing the mute droid. And maybe Vader thinks, oh, this could lead me to a bunch of other people. Maybe some other Jedi that Obi-Wan's been hiding with. I don't think it was because he wants Obi-Wan to prolong suffer by running away. That's a little silly to me.
Well, can't it be both at once? Like, can't
he wants him Obi-Wan to suffer? That's what he was doing in that scene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what his plan was if he captured him. But I don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't think he let him get away to prolong.
And then there are people who are saying that, oh, he wants Obi-Wan to be at his best when he beats him in a lightsaber fight. I don't buy that either. I think all Vader wants is for Obi-Wan to suffer and to potentially find other Jedi. And if he can get the best of both worlds, then I think he'll be happy.
This is the same Vader who let Luke fall in Empire Strikes Back. You know what I mean? He does these things. We've seen him do this a lot.
Yeah, that's a little bit of revisionist history. I don't think he looked at him
and just watched him fall.
I'm sure.
He literally made a point of going like this. I thought
Luke was going to die when he fell.
I'm sure when Vader, when George Lucas wrote The Empire Strikes Back, I'm sure he didn't say, oh, Vader saw Luke falling. He could have chose to force hold him and bring him back in, but he didn't. Like, no, he probably just saw Luke fall and was like, oh, shit, and then walked away. And then he's like, oh, trying to find my son.
He could easily have saved him.
In hindsight, yes, but the intention of the story, I disagree, is not Vader let Luke fall.
Yeah.
I would say that like in this situation with Luke or Obi-Wan, I feel like Vader letting Obi-Wan escape is kind of a way of him getting access to things that are more personal for Obi-Wan. He may be thinking, after 10 years, why are you just now showing your face? What do you have to hide? And maybe that droid is a connection or a lead into that. And yeah, maybe even
Leva, it's hubris too. It's hubris too. Just like we saw in, you know, in Rogue One and what we know of Star Wars. Like he goes through the hallway destroying all those rebels, right, to get the thing. When he could have easily just reached out and grabbed the guy who was running instead of just fighting everybody down the hallway.
He feeds it's off hubris. Of the fear. It's the dark side. Right. I mean, Darth Bane in the first novel, literally when he is at like the brink of death, he kills like two children in front of their father. And their father's like, why did you make me watch that? And then he kills right. the father. And he talks about how he feels great after. I mean, this is the nature of the dark side. I mean, it's really fucking right. dark in a bad way. I think this series.
Speaking of dark,
yeah.
This series, especially this third episode,
dude. He snapped that kid's neck, not the dad. Yes. He killed the dad in front of the kid, and then snapped the kid's neck.
And then the mom was right there, just like crying. Yeah. Right. I was like, shit.
Yeah,
it surprised me that all of the stuff got past, you know, not only Disney but like
the stormtrooper getting cut in half.
Yeah, that was good though. That was a funny one, in my opinion.
Because you can't take stormtroopers seriously. So, it's like if they get cut in half, it's funny.
Yeah, were you done with your points, Goldman, or did you have more you wanted to say on it?
I have one more thought, and this is kind of not about the show specifically, but it made me think about the wider context of the Star Wars universe. How does sensing someone else in the Force work? Like, when are you allowed to sense someone else? And
we have learned in other shows
it confuses
that
me.
If you cut yourself off, like Luke did, if you cut mm-hmm. yourself off from the Force, they can't find you. And that's why Vader couldn't find Obi-Wan, because he pretty much had cut himself off. But then he started like kind of leeching back into it.
Don't forget, Palpatine literally sat in front of all these Jedi Masters mm-hmm. and hid himself from the Force. So I think a lot of it is, you're like, let's say Obi-Wan and Vader, like, because that was kind of my thing too, of like, how did Vader not sense him? Obi-Wan wasn't really using the Force in that moment. Obi-Wan sensed Vader for sure because of that big dark presence of him and the Inquisitors. But since it was just Obi-Wan and he, like, let's say he did a Force push or a pull, I think that may have made any of them detect him. But
it was also, here's the thing we got to remember, in that scene, again, we're still focusing on episode 3 and that scene. But in that scene, if you notice, everyone he was killing, because they were there for a reason, everyone he was killing was Force sensitives. That's who he was killing in that scene. He wasn't just killing random people.
Vader?
He was picking out. Yes, he was. The Inquisitors. They said how we came here for a reason. They were hunting out Force sensitives. That's what they were doing, and that's what I got from that scene.
I didn't get that. My vibe was that he just wanted to draw Obi-Wan. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna kill random people. You know, kind of what the Grand Inquisitor said. The Jedi can't help who they are. That was the vibe I got.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting observation. But yeah,
that's what it felt like to me. You could be absolutely right. But
so then this goes back to just what I was saying. So you have to kind of be open to a connection in order to actually sense someone. But Obi-Wan thought Anakin was dead. So is in that way, did he just close himself off to that unintentionally because he assumed Anakin was dead? I suppose. Couldn't he have sensed that Anakin was still alive after the duel on Mustafar? Or did he just cut himself off right after?
I think he cut himself off so much.
Yeah.
So much depression.
I think it was intentional to cut himself off. I mean, even with the other Jedi who came and was like, hey, like, I need your help or something. Obi-Wan didn't sense when that Jedi died, but Yoda sensed when like Mace Windu died and Plo Koon died. And that's because of his connection.
But Yoda had a much more deeper to the right.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But like I would say, like with Kenobi slowly cutting himself off, if he had sensed that Anakin was still alive, Anakin would have done the same, and he would have been like, oh shit, knows, because we have that with Luke and Vader after Empire Strikes Back, like both of them intentionally, it's like a telephone, reach out to each other. And there's even a deleted scene in episode 6 where Vader's reaching out to Luke and being like, Luke, come to me, join the dark side, you know, and then Luke turns on his lightsaber or whatever. So I think it's a two-way connection. Someone has to reach out and the other person
and everyone we know there's a different size of the Force, right? You know, there's the cosmic Force, there's the life Force, there's the, you know, so and they all have their own specific kind of connections with one or all of it, and everyone's connection with the Force is kind of different, you know what I mean, the way they
reach into
it. We already saw him struggling trying to figure out how to contact Qui-Gon, and he couldn't remember. That's he was reaching out to him and realizing that he still hasn't learned that, which I feel is going to be the culmination of this, is he's going to finally get a hold of Qui-Gon at the end in the last episode.
What he wanted to say,
Yeah, so I feel, you know, everyone's connection is a little bit different. And to play off of what you were talking about, the prequels, how you didn't fall for his reaction, no, this can't be. I will say, and I will go on, even though I'm not a prequel apologist, I know how badly written they were. However, Obi-Wan was in denial. Even with the video evidence, he's like, this can't be. This is, and when he went to go talk to him on Mustafar, it was that last ditch, like, I can bring him back. This can't be right. This can't be happening. And his breakdown that you wanted happened there. We were a brother. This breakdown happened there on Mustafar. That's where his breakdown happened.
The scenes, the way they play out, that doesn't sell me on that. No, it might hit you that way.
Don't get me wrong.
But I just don't get that vibe. But I understand. Yeah. I understand what you're.
But Obi-Wan is in huge denial, and I think, and even now he's not. The denial is not as much at this point. More of the resignation that it's over, it's done, forget it. There's no point. He's you know, completely lost, and that's at the place he's at. And we see that with his fight with Vader, because Vader was 10 times the one stronger than him. He was just mopping the floor.
The body language said everything, with Vader just holding it with the lightsaber with one arm, and Obi-Wan's like down like this with two.
That's what I loved about this episode, is I really felt like the lighting and even that scene, like the darkness and them having their lightsabers out, I surprisingly really loved that stuff. Like this comment here is saying that like the glow was perfect. The dialogue between them was so lacking. I thought Obi-Wan would try and say something to Anakin. I kind of thought the dialogue was fine with Obi-Wan saying, like, what have you become? And Vader simply replying, I am what you made me. Like, God, that carries so much fucking weight right
100%.
There. 100%. It's to me, like, when they see each other after all this time, what I like about it is it feels like not a day has gone by. Like, Kenobi is kind of made fun of by Vader when he's like, you know, the years have made you weak or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I really feel like the tension between them, the drama and that relationship they've had. Surprisingly, I felt more relationship between these two in this one scene than I did the entire time they were in the prequels together.
And it plays into the dark side that you were talking about, to where Vader, he could sense his fears. He could sense what he was feeling. He knew that he had this feeling of failure and this feeling of that he's responsible. And Anakin was completely playing off those fears. That's what he was in that scene. Vader was completely playing off those fucking fears. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was spectacularly done. I had no, that was one of my best scenes. When you started dragging him through the fire, I was like, oh my God, that shit was just.
It's something that I never thought of. It makes total sense that Vader wouldn't want to just kill Obi-Wan. He'd want to make him suffer. But I'm glad you brought up,
because he left him there to suffer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought up the dialogue, because I heard people saying, you know, Obi-Wan said one thing to Anakin, Vader, throughout the whole fight, which was, what have you become, or something along those lines. And I think that makes total sense to me, because the vibe I'm getting right now, and I think what will happen going forward, this wasn't even really a fight. It was just Obi-Wan running away and trying to survive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the first time Obi-Wan sees Vader, like the look of utter shock in Obi-Wan was done so well. So the vibe that I got here, the reason why Obi-Wan didn't have like a banter, was because Obi-Wan was just in shock the whole fight.
I was.
He just found out that Anakin was still alive an episode ago, and now he's actually seeing what has become of Anakin, and that's just, he's in utter shock. So I think they're gonna fight again. That's obvious.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When they do fight again, I think that's when Obi-Wan's gonna actually express kind of a lot of the built-in emotions that he's been having for the past 10 years. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he brought up Padme or something, because you know he's been thinking about Padme a lot these past three episodes. So I wouldn't be surprised if
that scene hit hard too when Leia says, "You knew my real mother, didn't you?"
Absolutely.
And I was like, "Whoa."
So I think at the end, I think in the last episode, that's when Obi-Wan's gonna express everything, like, what have you done, you know, why all this, blah blah blah, and then we'll get an actual conversation between the two instead of Vader taunting Obi-Wan, which is still great. Now, I think it makes sense.
I did have some issue, even though this was my favorite of the three, I did have issues. So you kind of hit on it, Goldman, when you let him get away. We just saw a scene where he ignites the ground with the lightsaber. It was flammable, apparently, for some reason. And then he just puts it out right with the force, just woof, snuffs it out, and then it's immediately reignited by a laser blast, which I'm like, okay, that's weird. But all right, we're there now at that point. And then he's looking around. I'm like, well, the first laser blast misses, right? And then the second one, I'm like, at this point, I feel he could have easily have known where that laser blast is coming from and stopped it.
The first one shot the stormtrooper. Yeah. The second one hit the ground.
Yeah. Right. And after the stormtrooper was hit, you see him looking around and you know he's probing, right? And he could have easily have figured out at least we saw Kylo Ren stop a laser blast. Darth Vader could have easily have prevented a second blast, but for some reason he didn't. And then it reignites the ground again. Okay. And then he does this one of these, and I'm like, you were just in front of this fire. What's this all of a sudden? what are you doing this all? It's the same fire. And he doesn't put it out. Well, he didn't have PTSD. He lit it the first time. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you
know? Vader doesn't smoke joints.
They're gonna provide a reason, because that's just a glaring leap in logic. Or a glaring misstep if they don't. Yeah. No, Vader's like, I can't get them. It's like, worst case scenario, you just walk around.
Yeah. The other issue I had with it was kind of that whole thing with Leia talking. And it was you mentioned it, I guess, for the other episodes where there's like, would Reva like just finding her way in and just being able to, you know, go out. Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed about Chow, and mind you, I think she's one of the best directors in this group of people directing right now. Okay.
Absolutely. But
she does have a crutch where she uses, and this is Yellow's words, she uses methods of convenience in a plot where things just are conveniently there. They just conveniently happen to move the plot along rather than, you know, try to give a real world reason on how she finds it. It's just, the magic MacGuffin is there. Oh, the magic sign is there. Oh, the magic button is there. You know, I mean, I made a joke like when you couldn't open that fence. I go, watch, he's going to shoot it. And he does. I go, because that's what happens in Star Wars. And him, you can't open a door, just shoot the control panel. Yeah. And it opens up. So, you know, convenience, right? So Deborah Chow does lean on the convenience side a little bit just to move the plot along. Because it's like, okay, do I got to come up with this whole story or intelligent reason of how Reva finds her way in? That's going to make, it's going to add a lot of stuff to the episode that may not be necessary. So I, you know, most fans that she thinks are forgiving is like, they won't mind that because we're kind of used to that in movies, right? There's a lot of convenient stuff. We see it in Marvel MCU movies all the time. We see it in lots of movies. You know, and I'll be fair, it's even in the original Star Wars. They're there, okay? in the original trilogy, too. So those were minor issues, but again, not big enough for me to, like, say this episode was horrible. Like, for example, the Book of Boba Fett, that damn chase scene with the fucking Vespas was so bad. The whole scene was so bad that it just ruined that episode and almost ruined the entire series for me.
He's talking about the chase scene in Book of Boba, but I gotta ask you, Mongo, for me, the chase scene with Leia, it doesn't ruin the episode.
Yes, I want to talk about
it. It's one of those things where it's like, and this is episode one, so we're kind of skipping episode two, which I will say episode two is my least favorite so far. Episode one had that stuff, and that's where I say this is where I feel like what makes the series unique is that I feel like this was supposed to be taken extremely seriously, and they are. There's a lot of very serious things going on here. But then there are things like that where it's like, it's not that I don't mind jokes or corniness in Star Wars, but normally with Star Wars, they're supposed to be realistic threats. You know, the Empire Strikes Back, the entire movie is like, yes, you defeated this giant conglomerate, you know, authoritarian government, but now you're going to see what happens when they actually try to hurt you. You know, you're going to see the real power and the might of the Empire. With things like, you know, the Leia chase scene in episode one, it just kind of, to me, it brings the seriousness of the series down ever, like not even like slightly, like an entire, like if it's supposed to be an S tier, it brings it down to like A, where you're just like, really? Like you had this chase scene, you had this very cringe kind of moment. And I'll even say with episode two, the guy who played the fake Jedi, I can't remember his name for the life of me, and forgive me for that.
Kumail
Nanjiani, the actor.
Yeah. Kumail, like, he is a good actor, don't get me wrong. But this is where, it was way too silly. And it goes back to my old point about where I love what Lucas did in terms of casting people. Of, I'm not looking at this guy being like, this is a guy faking being a Jedi. I'm like, no, this is the guy I've seen in every fucking show for the past 20 odd years or whatever. Like, he's a popular actor now. And him being in Marvel and Eternals, it's stuff like that where, like, this is where this series rubs me wrong in the sense of, I like that I acknowledged, and you guys have known this on the show or on my channel for a long time, I knew from the start the Kenobi series was not meant and made for the story aspects of it. What I wanted from this series is Kenobi being depressed and really having that Logan vibe to it of him recovering from that depression, moving on from his life as a Jedi. And I'm getting glimpses of that, But that is a really overshadowed by the fan service stuff of look how funny this guy, this fake Jedi guy is. Wouldn't it be really funny?
Is that really fan service? I wouldn't call that fan service.
That one is not fan service, but the Grand Inquisitor stuff, that's fan service. The Vader
comes out. That feels like they have, like, I think he has some kind of contract with Disney where he just gives him roles everywhere. I don't know. But it's like, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to talk about Kumal and then I'm going to talk about the Leia chasing.
Okay.
The Kumal thing, it bothered me not because of him or his comedic talent. I thought, like, for example, that character would have fit in an episode of The Mandalorian. You know what I mean? It would have fit that vibe that we get in certain episodes. You know what I mean? But in this series, which is supposed to be much more of an introspective, brooding kind of feel, it felt like there's okay we have comedy, but it felt like too harsh of a comedy for the scene. That was a problem I had with it. You know, and then they tried to soften it with him like, oh no, I really do want to save Jedi. That's why I'm here. And then he has this whole Yellow brought it up and it was, he's got a point. She like cuts off that chick's hand in the first episode and she's brutal, obviously. And when Kumal and Johnny, she's just like, hey, just get out of my way. And like this guy's like actively trying to stop her. Why didn't she just kill him right then and there? Why are you bantering?
He signed on for more episodes.
She should have just.
He's going to get his own. This is where
they're showing us that she is a much more brutal Inquisitor than the rest, right? That's what they're showing us with her. And she just banters with him. It's like, dude, you should have just killed him. Just get him out of your way. Now, I said, to her, he was a fly. He was nothing, so it wasn't worth the point. She was using violence to, like, shock people, and with him, it was pointless.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to intimidate an audience the first time.
Right. So that wasn't necessary. I mean, we know already. I mean, she was that one of the Jedi, the Padawans. We saw the younglings. She was one of the younglings there. We know that's what it's going to be. So there's going to be some kind of not redemption, but some kind of tie back where she's still a good person. That's what we're going to get out of this, that she's scarred and because she was supposed to be a Jedi. But the Kumal scene, again, it was the comedy, I think, was a little too harsh. You got to be careful with Kumal because he injects a lot of comedic energy. Mm-hmm. And if you put him in the wrong show or the wrong scene, it's not his fault. It's him. It's who he is.
Yeah.
But it's miscast.
It derailed. It's what makes me feel like this is a little messy and clumsy because it takes the tone completely out of the seriousness of the situation. But give me your thoughts on the Leia chase scene first episode.
Yeah. So now I am not, it's nowhere near as bad as the Boba Boba. Sorry, it's not. That Boba Boba one was so no. First of all, there was not a speed problem, okay, like the Boba Boba one had, which was ridiculous. There wasn't this weird, like I said, the bikes themselves aren't a problem, but when you put them together with everything else, it makes it so bad. There wasn't this weird color thing going on. There wasn't this, you know, the chase wasn't even, it didn't feel even necessary, okay? Now, the problems I did have with the chasing with Leia is just like, I find it weird that these bounty hunters are just chilling outside the royal palace in the yard and he just, you know, just chilling there. I mean, he wasn't even hiding. He was just like leaning against a tree, you know, just chilling there. That was kind of weird. And then the chase, the way they did it themselves, it was like a cartoony chase to where it was like, oh, is this like, you know, like, oh, hey, little kid going between the legs kind of stuff, or, you know, kind of stuff, you know, like slippery eel. They couldn't catch her, you know?
Yeah.
That felt a little weird. I think that they were trying to highlight how clever Leia is, maybe, but it came off bad.
I agree.
With that note, I do want to say Flea, surprisingly, did a great job as that guy. I thought he did a great job acting as
Red. I had no clue who Flea was.
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers, man.
Like absolutely. Like, people were kept on talking about this Flea person. Like, who's Flea?
I remember hearing, like, I don't know if it was Bespin Bulletin or Making Star Wars, but they were like, yeah, there's a guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers being in the series. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
But he was better than Kumal. That's the weird thing. He was actually better for the part. And I'm not saying he's a better actor than Kumal, but for the part and the scene and the role he was meant to play, it was good. It worked. I thought he was a good antagonist, and it worked out well. But the scene was kind of corny. Now, it didn't go on. I'd have to time it, but I'm pretty sure it did not feel like it went on as long as the scene in Boba Fett.
Chapter 2, it went pretty long.
Well, you're talking about the what Obi-Wan. That's a different kind of when Obi-Wan was chasing her.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of situation, though. So that one's different.
I didn't like both though.
Yeah, both of them felt really badly executed, but also like my issue with the second one
I was okay with.
The second one I was okay with. That almost made me dislike Leia a little bit. Where I'm like, geez, just Come on,
kid. Yeah. Wait, I want to have a point because it's a common trope, and I hate the trope. It's that whenever kids do stupid things, and we kind of excuse it because it's like, oh, they're a kid, you know, they don't know everything. Like, oh, does it make sense that Leia might be scared of Obi-Wan? Sure, I guess, but I still don't like the trope because I agree with you. It kind of made me dislike Leia, and then it was weird. Like, she jumps off the roof, she grabs the rope, and then immediately after she jumps off the roof, she's asking for Obi-Wan's help. Like,
just seemed... she's about to die.
Yeah, I mean that makes
sense.
No, but for me, like, if you feel like you're about to die, just don't jump off the roof. Then
okay, yeah, but this is a kid. She thought she was going to make it across. And she didn't think she was going
to
fall.
You just proved this point long ago that
and that's like, and that's the trope I hate.
Yeah, it's fine to have this kid, but like, what makes her work? What makes me like her as a kid? Because remember, we have had a bad history with kids in Star Wars. All right, no one liked
Ahsoka. And you know how I am with kids, right? I'm here for Baby Leia.
Yeah. You don't like Omega. A lot of people don't like little Annie. What makes this kid work is that she feels like a real kid. She feels and acts like a real kid, and mainly like a smart little 10-year-old girl who's like kind of sassy. And when he's like, anyone asks, like, I'm your father. She's like, or grandfather. It's like a kid would have that kind of snarkiness where it's believable because kids don't give a fuck because they don't have that social awareness.
And it works with the character of Leia.
Exactly.
You can see that kid grow up into Leia.
It's so weird seeing people kind of react negatively to her character being like, oh, like, I don't like how smart. It's like, dude, she's a child. And by the way, she is 19 in the first episode, A New Hope.
Yeah.
So knowing that there's a 9-year gap, it completely makes sense to me that she would be like this at 10 years old. And then at 19, when you're 19, you are not, I mean, you're different than when you were 10, of course, but you're not fully matured. You're not a full person.
And yet. If anything, so, they portrayed her as very mature for 19.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And she's very mature for 10 years old as well. Like seeing what she does at the Alderaan dinner party. Like I was surprised because I think I told you guys before the show started, I wasn't really happy with the idea of them bringing Leia in because this is where I was like, oh, this is a little too much fan service. But what I do like about it is that we do get to see her life on Alderaan, what the connection she had with her parents, Bail Organa and his wife. I can't remember her name, but shout out to my boy Jimmy Smits. And Bria. Like, I really like that Jimmy aspect Smits, of man. The show. Jimmy Smits is great. And him coming and begging Obi-Wan for help, that is where I like this series. Now, let me tell you where I become a racist, apparently. I do not like, even remotely, Reva, whatever her name is. And it's not, this is what's funny to me about the, I guess, I mean, do we want to talk more about episode two, or can we move on to this racist problem, I guess? Because it's a delicate subject.
I have more thoughts about the rest of the series, but we can kind of go back to that. Like,
okay,
we can always circle back.
Yeah, I will, because I feel like it's hard to talk about her without the context of like what's going on right now.
This comment, I agree with this. That's what I was going to get at too. That a lot of the insight moments are passive force abilities.
Oh, like her asking him, did you knew my mother?
Yeah, and the thing with the cousin too. She was so reading him.
Like a book. Mm-hmm. I agree. That probably is force ability stuff. But my issue with Reva, I'm just gonna call her Reva, is I feel like people are like trying to defend themselves for criticizing her and being like, well, I'm not racist, like because I don't like her as a character. I'm like, okay, but you saying that like you making that defense is not making you look good. You can criticize her character all you want, but when
do you
the
know
second
why? Can I say something on this? Say something on this? Probably gonna have a lot of people hating me. The reason why they sound racist is because it is low-key racist. I'm sorry. The reason like that it is low-key, not you, but what they're saying. Because this is what I've noticed, what I've seen. The biggest complaint about her, what I've seen is she feels too real. She feels too Earth-like, too regular, like a regular woman from Earth talking. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you don't like it. And like if it was a regular, like Kumail looked like a regular person, but I ain't hearing people complaining about him. He sounded like Kumail from everything he's been in. Okay.
Good point.
If people are highlighting just this character for being too real, and I saw a lot of mentions of, oh, she's talking like in Ebonics, and she's talking like, it's like, well, so what do you really have a problem with? Would you have a problem if it was a white person or another person acting too real? Or is it just because it's a black woman doing it. You know what I mean? And that's just from the way they're saying it. And just like what you say, when they preface, I'm not a racist, but usually when you start with that,
it's a little bit of racist. I'm not a racist, but this darkie in this episode.
Oh, she sounds like that angry woman I saw at Walmart. I don't want her in my Star Wars. Yeah. That's that's what it sounds like.
I do have to ask, do you slightly understand the complaints of her feeling too much like she is from, I guess, Earth? Because like, I would say, like, you talk about her, the Eubonics thing. If there was a country redneck guy and like, from, I'm from Greenbow, Alabama, and he just talks like that throughout the whole thing. Like,
Bill Burr, Bill fucking Burr. Exactly. Okay.
No one complains about Bill Burr's Boston fucking accent in the Mandalorian series. But I really
The Trade Federation being obviously Asians?
Oh, yeah.
How about Watu being obviously Jamaican?
It's pretty bad.
Phantom Menace is incredibly racist.
Really is.
Like, hey, what's the big idea? Like, oh my god, Watu, like, it's awful.
Can I say something? I want to have a mini rant here about this whole topic because it really frustrates me. If when someone like Lucasfilm says, we do not support racism, you know, if you're racist, you're not part of a Star Wars fan. If you're offended by that, then I think you have to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself some questions. Not once did Lucasfilm ever say, if you criticize this character, you're a racist.
Right.
I saw,
if you're one of the people attacking her, that's what they were talking about.
I saw screenshots of, I think it was Moses Ingram who posted on her Instagram story of people calling her the N-word. That's racism. It's just indefensible. So that is what Lucasfilm is calling out. If you feel offended by that just because you don't like the character, then I think you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, maybe I have some self-reflection.
If we don't like Reva, we're all racist. That's what they're saying. That's not what they're saying.
Yes. And then
if they're saying that, it's because you feel guilty. That's why.
And this is the other thing that really bothers me. And it's when this certain group of people, we all know the group, when it comes to diversity and minorities, if a story is done well and the cast is diverse, they say nothing. Like, oh, see, this is diversity done right. But if a story is done poorly and the cast is diverse, and not once does the story talk about diversity at all, not once, then they call it woke and all that. Not once is race ever brought up
ever
in the show.
Ever. Race has nothing to do with her
not
character.
Not once is gender ever brought up, besides them simply saying she. So people are calling her woke. Why? The only actual woke movie I feel like I've seen was the 2016 Ghostbusters, because they actively make men look stupid. But so many other movies, like, just because there's a diverse cast, that might bother you. You're weird. The stories, not once do they actually make a commentary about diversity. Like the Batman, they made one comment where Catwoman said, you know, like the male white privilege stuff.
Yeah.
Fine. But like, that's the one remotely like,
no, if anything, they're making her naturally equal with the other Inquisitors. She's just one of the Inquisitors. That's all.
So if you are calling this show woke, I want you to point to the story. Tell me where the social commentary is about racism or sexism.
I'll tell you how.
Or
the
anything
hiring.
Else.
It's woke because Disney is purposely hiring actors of lesser quality. Because I'll say this. I have said I don't think her acting in the first episode was great. I felt there was some miscues there. I don't know how much it was her. I don't know how much of it was direction by Deborah Chow. But it didn't feel polished to me. It got better, and by the third episode, it felt better to me. Okay, maybe she had to feel herself into the role, whatever the case may be. So she's not the strongest actor there. That's just the reality of it. It's not, you know, when I look at all the actors, she's not the strongest one there. She's not. However, that doesn't change the fact that she still is a skilled actor who has gotten work in movies and television. Okay. And they think that they might have possibly, because it's a diversity hire, passed on better actors for the role just to have a black woman. And that's why it's woke. That's what they're getting at. You see what I'm saying? Not just the story. It's Disney's practices, which is bullshit, because we all know Disney is one of the most racist fucking companies in the world. Let's just be real. They are always behind on everything. They always come after the fact to try to say stuff. You know what I mean? So everyone knows Disney's
history. They pander. Yeah, we know right. They pander, and I'm sorry, you'd be a liar in my opinion if you told me that they weren't a left leaning company. But with that said, like that,
some of the people working there are, but the people at the top of Disney, not Lucas, like Kathleen Kennedy's kid, but the people at the top of Disney and stuff, it's all about money. It's whatever works.
Yeah.
If the other side would have got more money, they'd go with the other side.
Yeah. Just, I think for me, the biggest issue I have with Reva is not, of course, her race or her being a black woman in the series. That doesn't remotely bother me at all. I feel like she just absolutely takes me out of the series every time she's on screen. I genuinely feel like she is not an intimidating villain. She has these... I feel like the Grand Inquisitor in a way. When I watch her do these things, I'm like, you are acting like an emotional child, and it is beyond.
And do you want me to make an equivalency here? It's the same problem I had with Hayden in the prequels.
Yep. Yeah. Then that's completely fair. And you're probably right. I mean, that's what it's her, the way she does things is why I didn't like Hayden in episode 2, where it's like, you're taking me out of every scene because sometimes you just like the flow and order of the things, and it's annoying that like she's like, I deserve to take out Kenobi, and me.
We also got to realize
we don't know her.
You realize she's only like about 19, 20 at this, right? Because she was 10 in Order 66, and this is 10 years later.
Oh, you're right.
She's only like a 19 or 20 year old dude. She's a kid.
So yeah, but anyways, I think like it just really bugs me that we have to like talk about this. I think it's fairly obvious that if we provide criticism of the character, there's no race behind it. I don't like the acting
because her acting is not the strongest. She's the weakest actor.
It's just not. That's where I say it takes me out of the scene where it's like, I'm not taking her angry moments seriously. I'm not taking like the scene she has with Obi-Wan at the end of episode 2. I felt nothing. I felt more from Ewan than I did from Moses. And that's okay. Like my heart goes out to her because of the awful feedback she is getting, because it goes back to the Kelly Marie Tran thing where it's like, I cannot tell you how annoying I think Rose Tico is as a character. At the same time, I got shit from this from one guy. I thought like there's like pictures of Kelly Marie Tran where I'm like, she's a pretty lady. And someone was like, aren't you the guy who thinks Kelly Marie Tran is hot? I'm like, I can't admit that this bad actress is an attractive person. Like
that's what I didn't get. I don't think Kelly Marie Tran is a bad actress. The character was a badly.
Oh my god!
I wouldn't say
Reva. I don't think Reva's a badly written character. I just think the acting is just not there.
And see, I think it's both. That's my problem.
Yeah, I don't think they. I think the character's fine.
She's the one who I feel like almost doesn't deserve to be there?
No, but like this is another thing that infuriates me when people say like, "Oh, this is the Reva show," and. I'm like, for one, this is clearly Obi-Wan clearly has by and far the most screen time. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And it bugs me so much. It's like, okay, you that means you just don't want any other characters getting development, right? Every single movie, Logan, right? Fantastic movie named after a single person. Logan, Wolverine, is clearly the main character. There are other characters in that movie who get development. There's the name.
It was a Latina girl.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the little girl. Wasn't her name X-23. Just like a number? Yes, and Patrick Stewart's character. So, like, just because a show is named after someone, that doesn't mean other characters can't get development. Now you may run into the Book of Boba Fett problem, where your main character gets piss poor development, and then you get two episodes that just don't have your character at all. That's a problem. But this show clearly has a focus on Obi-Wan. They clearly have made an effort to develop him. And you are also allowed to develop other characters. They've done a little bit of development
with Anna, have to. And they've that's done a little bit of 101.
Development with Reva. And that's what you should do. That's what we want. There's not a single story. I mean, there probably is, but most stories, again, if they're named after one person, there's still other characters that get development. You have to. And that's what really infuriates me. It's like, do you not want a villain? Do you not want someone? Like, do you not want new characters in this show?
Well, I think the issue is that when you have Grand Inquisitor,
when you do Batman, can you imagine if they did Batman, The Dark Knight, and they just didn't develop the Joker at all? Just like, oh, here he is, and just don't do any development.
I should say that. Oh, this is the Dark Knight. Why are you spending time developing the Joker? These people infuriate me.
It's infuriating to hear the complaints kind of lack substance. For me, what grinds my gears about a character like Reva in this series is that you now have these three villains competing against each other for kind of having a significant presence. Vader already demands it, like, because of his history with Obi-Wan. I think him alone should be the main villain for this series. But I also like that he's kind of serving the role of basically the Emperor, where, you know, all the Inquisitors report to him. I'm fine with that. What I don't like, though, is, well, we actually haven't even talked about the Inquisitor thing, about what happened.
She's not making out of this series, guys. She's going to die.
Reva? Oh, no, she will die. Vader, I think Vader will kill
she's
her.
She's going to die. Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is she's going to have a semi-redemption thing with a semi-redemption thing with Obi-Wan and realize, "Oh, okay, and like
Vader's going to kill her."
They had a heart-to-heart talk. She's probably going to tell Vader like, "Oh, I killed the son bitch. He begged for his life and then I killed that little
Can we mention next to him or something. The Grand Inquisitor is going to come back and he's going to say, "Bitch, stab me." So I mean, it's going to
maybe he kills her. But that's my thing. Is like the Grand Inquisitor, I think, was doing a good job as the villain from the start of like that opening scene with him. Like, I loved that. And then him kind of keeping her in line. And then the fifth brother, like, I really would prefer Reva and the fifth brother be the people who are kind of competing for the spot, either under the Grand Inquisitor or trying to take his mantle, and the Grand Inquisitor having to keep them at bay. But the Grand Inquisitor is kind of the main villain hunting Obi-Wan. But instead of that, it is Reva she's the main villain technically, and the Grand Inquisitor and Vader who are better villains. I have remotely no connection to her or drive to understand like why she's doing the things she's doing.
I have for you then. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're going to get a reveal. There's going to be some kind of connection with her and Obi-Wan as far as her being a youngling or whatever. There's going to be some kind of connection other than, oh, I vaguely remember you joining the Jedi's when I was a youngling. You know what I mean? There's got to be some kind of connection, something that happened or something that mm-hmm. she saw that's going to cause this. Okay.
Yes.
And it's going to tie into why she knows, which just, again, I'm with you. It is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Why does she know Anakin's Vader? Like, hardly anyone knows that. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my peeves, but I have a feeling, knowing Deborah Chow, that it's got to play into the grander story. It most likely it's going to have to fit in somehow. If they give a reasonable explanation to why it's so personal for her, and remembering that she's like 19, 20 years old, and remembering she was a youngling in Order 66, on why she has this obsession with getting Obi-Wan, would it make her story better for you?
Her story better, yes. Her impact on the show, no, because it's already happened, in my opinion. I have to feel what makes Vader a great villain in episode 4, when you don't know his backstory, episode 5, you still don't know his backstory, is how intimidating in the presence and the man he has on screen, where you feel like he is the villain, and you're really curious on what his next move is. And when you find out he's Anakin, it adds so much depth to the character, where you're like, whoa, this guy is far more than I ever expected. With Reva, it is, she steals the show because it is, you're annoying the shit out of me. I really wish you would just stop. And please, like, it's almost too predictable on what she's going to do. So if I do get a reveal with her, which is probably going to be something like, hey, I really want to kill Kenobi because, you know, you sent this mass message to all the Jedi who survived saying, like, you know, a new hope will rise up and all that stuff. I really believed in you. And then not only did you give up, you know, we've all died. And clearly, like, maybe the message is what got her caught, or maybe the message gave her hope to fight. And she ended up losing all of her youngling friends, like all the other, I guess they're not Padawans yet, but the little younglings that she was with. Like, maybe that alone is what drives her. And she's like, you know, screw Kenobi. Like, I have to, my arc is getting revenge on those for those kids, and him being the last of the council who really brought down the entire order. That's a good arc for her, but that to me should not make her the lead villain for the series. And her being the villain that is trying to I don't believe anything with her. And to me, it's not even the acting. I think the acting's bad, but to me, it's just the character. Like I said, I really wish she would just kind of be a little bit below the Grand Inquisitor in terms of not screen time, but her role as the villain in this series. And maybe I'm wrong for that. Maybe that's just me not liking the character and being disingenuous. But
well, one thing that I remember about the Inquisitors, and even when we remember stuff like oh my God, why is her name escaping me? What's her face from Clone Wars? Asajj Ventress.
Oh, Ventress, okay. Yes.
Yeah. And because they're on the dark side, ambition is big. okay, mm-hmm. with the dark side, even with the Inquisitors, ambition is big, and they all have that ambition, and they're all trying to one up each other. You know what I mean? It so that for me fits. I thought her killing him that quickly was too quick of a move. I felt that something should have came later if they were going to go with that. It felt too soon, almost. You know, and they kind of explain, and then random, and then because of this, Vader like has this like one-on-one with just her that even, you know, the fifth brother was like shocked. You spoke to Vader? Yeah, I did. Didn't you know? You know, it's like, you know, that kind of felt kind of off, you know, the way they presented it. And then they kind of went, okay. Guess you talked to Vader, so it's all right. You know, it just feels weird to me. It's like, it feels like it would have worked better if he like appeared in a hologram with all of them and said, I trust Reva on this, follow her lead, or else you will have to pay to me. And if she fails, one of you will take her place. You know, that would have felt more impactful if they were going to do it that way. You know, you could still kept the same kind of storyline, but present it differently. So I don't think it's that she needs to be lower, because the ambition thing is big when it comes to the Inquisitors and people on the dark side of the Force. It's a real big motivator and stuff.
Oh my God.
So that I was okay with. But yeah, it's just the way they're fast tracking it with her that's making it.
You got a little spammers in the chat.
Yeah, I see it. I'm removing them.
My friend just texted me saying I find young Leia incredibly annoying, and I just got triggered.
Oh no!
Oh my God! No, young Leia. Newsflash, guys. Lunga, who says fuck them kids, who hates kids and everything. I am here for young Leia.
She's so
one of my favorites. I loved her. I loved her.
You know,
give me more.
There was one scene with Leia that really told me they understand what they're doing. And it's when she was talking to her cousin and he insulted her by saying she wasn't a real Organa. I feel like the novice writer, what they would have done is just played it off like Leia doesn't care and she roasts him back, which is kind of what happened. Yeah. But you can tell the comment bothered Leia because she's a human being. But she still responded because that's who Leia is. So that's what I really liked about that scene. The comment still hurt her, but she's still not going to back down.
Right.
And to me, that's – I was like, okay, they understand who Leia is, and I love that. I love almost everything. Yeah.
You almost felt like she wanted to, like, snap back at him, but then she, like, reeled herself in, felt what he was thinking, and said, oh, okay, makes sense. I know why you're an idiot. Explains it to him.
She kind of learns from her parents, too. Like when Bail Organa's, like, telling her, like, how to do things – it's not like she's the kid where she's like kind of like, oh, whatever, daddy, you don't know what you're talking about. But she does kind of internalize. Yeah, she internalizes a little bit of what he's saying. And even see with Obi-Wan, like her relationship and her trust for him slowly growing, but her learning with him about things. And
whenever Leia is not running,
when they were standing there in the balcony. Yeah, when she's not running. Yeah, no, she was great. And I really enjoyed it. And I got to mention this, it's so off top, but it was hilarious when they were on that transport together and she was talking about that, you know, are you my father and this and that, blah, blah, because you're my real mother. I was just talking to Yellow about the memes that have been going around about and TikToks about how they're saying, how does Padme fall in love with this whiny little brat when she has Daddy Kenobi right there? And I was just talking about that. And she literally goes, are you my father?
And instead of being like, no, he's like, I wish I was.
Yeah.
He's like, I met your mom on Tatooine. Let me tell you.
But did anyone notice that we got a little reveal for possibly future stuff that we never got before? Obi-Wan said he had a brother.
Yeah. Yes, that and that, and in the old books,
Ray Kenobi confirmed
it was. Oh god, no! It was Uncle Owen that was his brother, and I really wonder if that's still true in today's canon. I would love it if it was, because it would make sense.
No, there's too much animosity there.
That would make the galaxy too small. It's just like,
oh, it isn't already.
You don't need to make it worse.
Yeah, but in the original canon, he did that because he knew that was his brother. Right. This one he doesn't remember. He just says, "I don't even really remember my brother." He just knows he has one.
Mm-hmm. Well, he thinks he has one. He said he wasn't even sure.
But this tells me about future stuff. You know, I know people are saying let's move on past stuff, but if we're talking about Taika and we're talking about sequel era movies and this and that, we could have a nephew or a niece of Kenobi.
I don't think
that's becomes a Jedi.
I don't see it happening. I think it was just a moment to try and Obi-Wan to try.
That was way too convenient of a drop, dude.
But like, yeah. if Obi-Wan had a brother and he was force sensitive, then the brother would have taken to the Jedi Order.
His kid. No. I didn't say the brother was. The brother has children who are force sensitive.
That would make some sense, I guess.
It's like Obi-Wan doesn't have a special bloodline. He's just a dude. So it's like,
that's why it skips certain people. Some people have it. Some people don't.
Just like Obi-Wan's nephew wouldn't be some like Skywalker who's super powerful. Just be like another.
That's the problem with you liking the sequels is that the sequels have pretty clearly established that bloodlines are important.
Fuck the past.
To be fair,
kill it if you have to.
The last Jedi said otherwise.
Yeah, but to be fair, Rian Johnson did one thing right, which was. Actually, it doesn't matter who you are. The Force doesn't pick off bloodlines.
So many things.
And then J.J. Abrams was like, actually, it does. It really does.
It's not about picking bloodlines. It's obviously a genetic thing, just like anything else. If you have a predisposition to the Force, it would make sense that that it's a genetic trait. Not that specific bloodlines have it more than others. Not that. But it's a trait that gets passed down. It could skip generations and other generations have it. It's a recessive gene, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that only certain families have that power. It just means that if someone in your family has it, there's a good chance down the line someone will. Just like twins, right? Yeah. We know if twins are in your bloodline, there's a good chance someone in your family is going to have twins later. But same thing with the Force.
I think with like Goldman saying that it makes the world feel small, I feel like that also makes the galaxy feel small in Star Wars. If it's like, let's say we get a story 100 years from now and there's a Kenobi in there and it's like that's
people
cool.
Like that. People
I don't want to see like that, man.
And they're wrong.
Familiarity.
I don't want to see
familiarity. Familiarity.
I like Obi-Wan. I don't need to see his family. That would be unnecessary.
It doesn't mean it has to be a main character. It could be one of the. I mean, we ensemble cast, right? Let's do the Ninth Jedi. Let's do stories with ensemble casts, right? Let's have like that was one thing I think the prequels got good. Is that at least, we have an ensemble cast. We have multiple Jedi doing multiple things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it has to be, Kenobi Generation 2 main character. But he's one of the Jedi in an just ensemble
seems,
cast.
That seems forced to me.
Nah, that seems slightly. Natural to me. But they dropped it. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's one way, shape, or form. They did not put that in there. For no reason. It's coming.
What if your supposed niece or nephew is in Skeleton Crew?
Oh,
fuck that. I'm not watching that shit.
Oh,
that.
Fuck
I'm
me.
Still not watching it.
I don't care. Wait. You're not into the Skeleton Crew thing?
No, completely not.
You're gonna watch it. If you watch the Bad Batch, you're gonna watch the show.
Yes, you don't know shit about Skeleton Crew though, bro.
I watched the Bad Batch because it plays. Here's the thing you gotta remember: Bad Batch plays into the grander story of where they're connecting different eras of the Skywalker saga. Okay,
you don't know that Skeleton Crew is not gonna do
Hold
that.
Hold on. Skeleton Crew, we already know it's supposed to be sequel era, right?
It's around Mandalorian timeline.
I don't
timeline.
Give a fuck.
I said around the Mandalorian timeline. Do you consider that the sequel era?
It's Mandalorian? I thought it was supposed to be Mandalorian. I thought it was supposed to be sequel era.
I thought I said shortly after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's around the time of the Mandalorian. We can
okay,
discuss
well,
another show or something. It's,
yeah, still, I still don't want to watch
I don't
it.
Have all. I want to just because it's live action and it's another Star Wars show that like I'm surprised that they're dedicating so much. Did I tell you guys in this name like there's more Star Wars animation stuff in the works right now. Like I think there's like a movie or two that they're working on. I don't know shit for details. Truth be told, I mean kind of loosely, but it's not something I'd bet anything on. But like it seems like. Even with what was the other like kind of kids show that they announced? Let me look at my Instagram.
Young Jedi Adventures.
Thank you. Yeah, Young Jedi Adventures, Tales of the Jedi. Animation's like kicking something up.
I thought Young Jedi Adventures was a live action project.
Is it?
I made a video. I said it was live action.
Oh well, then you're right. But still, like with Tales of the Jedi and these other Star Wars things that are in the works. Young Jedi Adventures set during the High Republic era. Original series follow younglings as they study the ways of the Force, become Jedi compassion, self-discipline, teamwork, patient, friendship. Young Adventures is coming to Disney Plus and Disney Junior spring 2023. So it does not say shit.
I was incorrect. No, it says the first full-length animated Star Wars series created for preschoolers, early grade schoolers, and their families.
Oh, that's what it says.
Wait, wait, wait. This is for what show?
Young Jedi Adventures, the High Republic series.
Oh,
Skeleton Crew.
Okay. So Young Jedi Adventures is definitely animated, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Oh, I got that wrong in my video.
That's like that other show, what it was, Resistance, Star Wars Resistance, is that what it was called or whatever?
Yeah, probably something like that. crazy that that's going to be the first High Republic show that's garbage. Yeah. Anyways, I mean,
kids will love it, but it's garbage.
Yeah. Well, it's not for us, I guess.
Lunga, so. It's not for you.
Right. I said kids will love it. I'm not saying don't make it. I'm just saying I'm not watching it. That's all I'm saying.
You shouldn't say it's going to be garbage.
For me, it's garbage.
But it could be good.
For me, and I said garbage. Kids will love it.
No, but you should say kids will love it. This isn't for me. You should say this isn't for me. But
I just literally did. That's literally what I said.
You said no. You're saying it's garbage.
You said it all.
I don't like the way you're phrasing this.
Kids, it's garbage. Kids will love it. That literally means outside of me, kids will love it. Oh, cancel. Cancel. Cancel, yeah. Lunga.
They're even doing a Visions Volume 2, Season 2. It's not coming out this year, like that. Jordan Mason said. It's coming out next year, in spring 2023. So, yeah, animation's kicking the fucking dirt, bro. Like, they're just going at it and making nonstop content. I guess I have to talk about it in like a separate video, or maybe we'll talk more about like all the shows and stuff they announced next week's show. We'll still have a Kenobi episode to go over, but like I saw like the episode of from Tales of the Jedi. That's a crazy show in of itself, like having Dooku kind of get his own series and everything, and then we're getting another Visions. Like I said, we're getting maybe one or two like animated Star Wars movies that'll go directly to Disney Plus.
Now, did they for Visions 2, did they say if they're continuing the stories they had in the first one, or they're all?
I don't think they did. I don't think they made any official confirmation. I know for certain that there will be old studios who worked on season one with this next season. The report from Jordan Mason, which the only thing he got incorrect so far was that it was going to release this year, was he said in his report that it was going to be a continuation of some of the old stories, but also a lot of new ones. So I like, if let's say there's nine episodes,
that I'm fine with.
Yeah, me too. If there's three episodes out of the nine that are focused on the old stuff, I'm happy. I want
more with the rabbit. Jedi.
No, you can go to hell. All right. You can take your
role. I like the rabbit. I like the rabbit one. I like that one. That one was cool, dude. The ending was left wide open. That one, the Nine Jedi, which is like almost unanimously like most people's favorite, was the Nine Jedi, which people want to see show. That one deserves more. And I would say the Force Twins, I think we could see more with that. Those three. And I guess Ronin, I mean, they did make the book for that Ronin one.
The book was bad.
The book was awful. Oh my God. Don't even, I have it over here. I got through like 10 chapters and I was just like,
yeah,
you know, when you read a sci-fi book and it's like, Johnson stood on the Gargmanar and was looking out of the planet of Las Kachach, and you're just like, what? Like, two pages to understand that the guy was standing on a balcony. That is what the Rome like. It literally overwriting. It makes I think it's her first book as well. Like, I do not know why they picked this chick to do this book, but it was dreadful.
Are you saying it's a problem because it's a her? Is that what you're saying? This chick?
Absolutely.
I believe it. We've known Star Wars Only for, we've been doing this for,
you don't like women.
No, did we?
That's a problem. Star Wars Only.
I think we missed our 2-year anniversary of the Chatooine show. It was sometime mid May.
You know what? It's funny because I don't even think about those things. Yeah.
We did our May the 4th stream with our good buddy Max, and then after that, we're like, let's do the Chatooine show.
Yeah.
Those are the good days when Palpamies wasn't here.
and then all this went to shit.
Yeah, alternate history where Max is a part of the stream as well, part of the show.
I mean, we have quite a few people watching today when Palpamies isn't here.
Curiosity of the cat. Man, there you go. You know, I brought in Palpamies as a substitute when one of you bastards wouldn't show up, and then for some reason he just decided to keep sticking around every fucking show. I was like, well, while he's here, let's fucking utilize him. We don't even pay the there bastard, you go. Right? Poor guy.
That's right.
Hasn't had a paycheck in years. Oh, man.
We love you, Palpa. Well,
absolutely. I'm sad that he's not here tonight, but hopefully he's here next week where we can probably we'll talk about next week's episode 4, and then likely please, if you guys are watching the stream, once it ends, comment below or go to the official Chatooine Twitter or Instagram. All the links are in the description, and just kind of comment what you want next week's topics to be about in terms of Star Wars Celebration, because this entire episode, I hope you guys enjoyed it, was mostly Kenobi. But now that we're done with the halfway point, there's a lot from Celebration we still have to talk about and go over, and I would love to do that. So please leave us your thoughts in the comment section below on what we should talk about for next week's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Tell us your thoughts on Kenobi, what your hopes are.
Hey, stop.
Don't, Dad, sorry, no. Go.
My wife came home.
Lunga's getting tickled.
I'm being tickled. On stream.
Yes,
I'm gonna plug my. Hold on, I gotta plug the plushie.
He's got a job.
Yes, I have a job to do. I guys, you know, I make comic books, Rubicon Comics and stuff, and there's like kind of Lovecraftian based comic book, Isidore and Immortal Chains. I have a plushie, a Cthulhu plushie. That I actually have a campaign going for on Indiegogo. This and another comic creator that I've licensed with, George Peter Gatz, is with his character Joe King, is his plushie as well as my comic books and some other stuff. And this just went live today. I'll pop the link in the chat. If you guys want to maybe help back it, get yourself one of these little cute plushies of Cthulhu. That would help out a lot. Thank you very much.
Its name is Cthulhu?
It's Cthulhu.
I feel like it needs a cuter name.
The name is Cute Cthulhu.
The name should be like Uwu or something.
No. He's an eldritch being. It's Cthulhu. Do you not know who Cthulhu is, Goldman?
No.
Oh my God. What? H.P. Lovecraft. Who is?
Yeah, talk about, I mean, I'm not a cultured guy, but like, what the fuck? I mean, have you not been to school?
Yeah, seriously.
Graduated.
Seriously.
Oh yeah. Seriously. He's been to legit school. This man does coding and shit and DevOps over here. Yeah. One day, Goldman, I'll major in management information system just so I can like try to become your boss somewhere.
InfoSci.
I would be awful at it, but I would just be like, all right, guys. Get the project going.
My people look down upon your people.
Your people? Oh, what you mean? What you mean? Our people?
No, I'm Italians over here.
Like, I'm talking about the wrong people.
Yeah. We don't know. They don't know what they're doing, but they'll manage you. It's the creative versus the producer. All right, you know, you get a little bit too big for your britches. We got to keep you in line. Make sure you stay under budget in the time frame. You need a reality check a little bit. All right. Do I know what I'm talking about? Absolutely not. But that's your job. You're supposed to know. I'm just supposed to, I guess, relate it to the other branches. But anyways, that enough of the Tatooine Civil War. It will always rage on. Thank you guys for watching. We really do hope you enjoyed today's episode of Tatooine. Like I said, click the links in the description. Give us your comments on what you want next week's stream to be about, what news stuff you want us to cover. I played Star Wars Hunters, and I know none of you guys care about that in the show, but I really liked it. It was a lot better than I anticipated, and I still got to give my thoughts on Celebration eventually.
We didn't talk about the Lego Star Wars Summer Vacation special.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Until next time, my friends, may the Force be with you always.